We had a missionary that's going to Togo, Africa, come, and he was living in Roanoke, Virginia, and he was working with the gang problem, and he told us the way he reached out was he would go to a compartment complex, talk to the manager, and then he would set up a grill and do some hot dogs and invite the kids out and share Christ. Y'all remember that? And so we did that yesterday, and it was a blessing. Again, got a chance to minister. I even might have got a secretary. So y'all be praying that God will work through these young people. They work things out for the honor and glory. Amen? Still need your prayers. It's one thing to go out, but you still have to follow up and call people. People that are not in church or not been in church or not used to church. So you have to kind of befriend them and encourage them. Hey, you know, Sunday's coming. Would you like to go to Sunday school? You know, would you like to go to church? And sometime you have to pick them up. So it takes time. I remember we had a preacher used to say he would tell him, I'm going to be over at the house on Sunday morning. He'd get over there, knock on the door at 9 o'clock. They'd be still in the bed. He said, I told you I was going to come on here. They said, well, I forgot. He said, that's okay. I'll sit in the van until you get ready. So sometimes you have to wait on people and give them time to get ready for the church. Because everybody, you know, I hate to say it, we grew up in the church. But if we got a society now that didn't grow up in the church. We got a society now that young people, there was one guy told me, one preacher told me, a 19-year-old girl told me, I've never been to church before. So we got a generation, a millennium. And again, I don't want to blame them because it's their forefathers and their parents who didn't do it. Amen. So guess what? We still got to reach them. Amen. Still got to reach them. So since the 1st of January, we've been training on evangelism. Every fourth Sunday, we've been talking about how to evangelize, how you go out and reach people. Last Wednesday, we talk about no more excuses. We always have an excuse. Well, I can't talk. Well, just tell them what God did for you. Amen. You know, so there's no excuse. You have a responsibility to share the gospel. Amen. So this morning, one day after our outreach and 1 week before our missionary conference, we want to continue our efforts this morning talking about reaching the lost for Christ. There's two type of missions. Where you ever heard of? There's home missions and there's foreign missions. Home mission is right here at home. We tell people all the time, don't act like you. And again, you know, I hope y'all don't take this wrong because I don't mean it wrong, but sometimes it come out that way and people receive it. I can go all the way to Africa and work with Africans, but I can't work with the people in the inner city. There's something wrong with that, okay? Something wrong with that. I got to be able to work with people no matter where I go, okay? So I can't say, well, I can't work with the people in America, but I can work with the people in Africa. They're the same people. So you got to learn how to do that. So this morning we're going to talk about the Great Commission. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 28. You've heard this is a popular passage. Matthew chapter 28, and have your finger there and turn to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll look at two scriptures this morning as we talk about how we need to go out and do home missions. Matthew chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 6. When you get there, say amen, so I know you're there. See, I hear pages turning, so I want to give you time to get there. Matthew chapter 28. You there, say amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. Antonio, you get a chance to get in the back with the young people. Matthew chapter 28, start at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that word power comes from the Greek word dunamis, has to do with dynamite, is given unto me. Jesus said, I got all power in heaven, and guess where it is? And in earth. So just in case you keep forgetting, the problem that you got down here on earth, Jesus can handle those problems too. Amen. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I want you to underline the word teach. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So this is the Great Commission. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to look at one verse, verse 8. This is after Isaiah have seen the Lord in all his glory in heaven and the seraphims hollering, holy, holy, holy. Verse 8, Isaiah 6 said, and also I heard the voice of the Lord You're not going to hear the voice of the Lord audibly today, but if you hear it, it's going to be through the word of God. Amen? Amen. Saying, who shall I send? Let me tell you this morning, North River Bible Baptist, the Lord is asking you, who shall I send and who will go for us? God is saying, who's going to go to these mission trips? Who's going to go to this evangelist outreach? Who's going to be there? Then said I, Isaiah was listening to him. Read that with me. Here am I, send me. That ought to be your slogan this morning. Here am I, Lord. You ain't got nobody else. Send me. I want to talk to you briefly this morning about your influence for people for the cause of Christ. You have a responsibility. If you're a Christian, you've been born again, it's your job to come alongside with the church and the pastor to reach people for Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day, a day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for waking us up this morning and bringing us to the house of prayer, the house of God. Thank you for the saints of God being here. Pray for the Malone family. I don't know what's going on with Sister Betty, but I know she's sick and sometime weak. So I'm praying that you will work all those situations out. Pray for our teenagers, Lord. We talk to them about being here today. Don't know what's going on now, but we lift them up to you, Lord. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson that we had today, Lord, that we talked about Jesus Christ. Say, do good on the Sabbath, on the Sunday. When we go out today, help us to show mercy and to show grace to those that are in need. Thank you for our time of recognizing our visitors, our birthdays. Thank you for Gio celebrating another birthday. Thank you for Sister Bonds and her grandkids being with us today, Lord. Thank you for our announcement by my wife. Thank you for our covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for Gio taking up the offering, Lord. Thank you for our covenant reading. And thank you for, again, our last song that we sung for the praise team, Lord. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you forgive me of my sins, that you crown my head with wisdom, that you speak through these clay lips. Only those things will edify and build up, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Your influence on people for the cause of Christ. A healthy church discovers and maintains balance and two great purposes. One of the purposes is evangelism. That's what we did yesterday. Go out and win people to the Lord. And the other one is discipleship. Now, when a person gets saved or you evangelize a person, there are a lot of things they don't know. So you need to bring them in and have what we call a new members or a new convert class. You teach them things about the Lord. A lot of times people get saved and they have some bad habits. So a lot of times you don't have to tell people a lot. The Holy Spirit will convict them, okay? You don't have to tell people to cut their friends around a way they're not doing a godly thing. A lot of times their friend will drop them on their own. But you do have to help them and encourage them in some areas. Evangelism is one of the hardest things to do because it's on the front line of war, spiritual warfare. If you know, when we go to war, you always have these frontline men. I don't know whether you knew it or not. That was one of the biggest problems that we had in America, was we didn't want to send women out on the front line. And I hate to tell you, I don't think women need to be on the front line either, but I think that we ought to have soldiers now. That's one reason why they have, again, when they was drafting people, you have to be at least 18 years old, and then you have to kind of, they usually don't draft you if you're married and got children. They usually want men to put them on the front line. Now, I hate to say it, I hate to see young boys killed, but usually you have to have marching soldiers, amen? So it's the same thing when it comes to spiritual warfare. We're going to go out in the community. You got to have people on the front line. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When we go out in the community, I want you to know the devil don't like because you're going out to win people to Christ. But we have an advocate. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be fearful. I told y'all, I just tell you again how we got this apartment complex yesterday. I went out and talked to the police chief, found out there was a courtesy officer lived in the apartment, went and talked to the manager, and she gave us the free course to go out and minister Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have that many people like let you do that. A lot of time they have a sign that say, don't come in here talking about Christ, don't come in here evangelizing. But God can work in the hearts of people. And so we're grateful. And then again, I didn't know where we were going to have the barbecue at. Because I went to the apartment complex, and I didn't know whether I was going to have to bring my own grill and whether we was going to have to transport a grill like we do sometime when we went to our picnic. We had to bring a grill. But I looked and saw there was a grill right across, and there was a church right next door. Y'all remember that? And so I said, well, Lord, you got to do another miracle. So I'm going to go and meet the pastor, and I'm going to ask him, did he have a problem with me evangelizing this neighborhood and using his grill and his property? And so the Lord went before. But when I went to meet the pastor, the first thing he said to me was that I went to Tennessee Temple. I said, I went to Tennessee Temple. He said, I was there in the 70s. I said, I was there in the 70s. And so, so we began to talk about the same people. And then he began to tell me his ministry. Then I began to tell him the ministry. And right off the bat, God knit our heart. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Right off the bat. And so my next question was, Pastor, I'm trying to win these people to the Lord in this apartment complex. And I saw you had a grill out there. And we're going to be coming here next week. Do you mind if we would use your grill and talk to the young people? You know what he said? I've been trying all I could. I tried 4 years ago. I even had a basketball goal up for them to come play basketball, and they tore that down. He said, but guess what? I don't have no problem. I come down here and give you the church. I give you the key. I give you everything. You can use my chair. You can... Now, y'all know that with God. Amen? So I'm telling you, we wrestle against spiritual weakness. But God touched the heart of people. And I saw yesterday, Charlotte brought a tent. I said, boy, they're already ready. I come back in the van and all y'all chilling out there. I say, praise the Lord. But I want you to know that was all the Lord Jesus Christ. God worked it all out. We need to have a passion for souls. Amen. You got to have a deep down gut feeling that I need to help people. And Charlotte just said it today, the lady at Captain D was crying about the gang problem, about shooting going on. Let me tell you, if you don't have any compassion for these young people today, you need to get one, because they need help. Amen? Amen? We ain't got nothing but killing. We ain't got nothing but people doing sin and violence and wickedness. The devil is tearing up marriages. Folks are on crack cocaine. Let me tell you, you need to have a heart for this generation. Amen? This millennial generation, like I said, they don't even know right from wrong. Isaiah said they're going to come a time where they're going to call good evil and evil good. That's where we at today. They don't know right from wrong. So we need to go out and help them. We have examples in the scriptures where people did evangelistic. The first one was Andrew. Andrew went and found his brother Peter, Simon Peter. So a lot of time your first ministry is to your own family. Are y'all listening to me? And we hear that prayer all the time from Charlotte and Sharon and all. And we need to pray for our loved one to come to know the Lord. Amen. Everybody in my family ain't saved. I don't know about you, but everybody in my family ain't saved. I got some brothers not saved. I got some cousins not saved. Guess what? I need to still try to win them to the Lord. Amen. They need the Lord just like the lost people need the Lord. Amen. Jesus went and found Philip, and Philip found Nathanael. And you remember when Philip found Nathanael? Nathanael said, Philip said, we found him that called the Messiah. He come out of Nazareth. Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's what we do, people. When you say, well, I found somebody over here in the projects. I found somebody over here in Alden Park. I found somebody over here in Howard. I found somebody over here in Boone. Let me tell you, it don't matter where they come from. It don't matter where they come from. God can still change a soul. Amen. Let me tell you, I'm a product of the project. I'm a product of the poverty. I'm a product of it. And God still changed my heart. So look, don't give up on people. And then Jesus gave us a perfect picture of evangelism. He found the woman at the well. Now y'all know this story, but I'm going to give it to you in passing. The woman at the well had five husbands, and the one she was living with, she wasn't married to. Y'all know the story. And she went to get some water at a time when none of the women would come there because she didn't want to be slandering them talking about her. So she went in the heat of the day when it was 12 o'clock noon, when the sun was tied up, and she said, you know, the women go and get the water at 2 o'clock. I better go at 12 so I won't run into any of them, you know, them girls talking about me. But she went there, and of all people, guess who was sitting on the well? Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me tell you, God know what you need. The Bible says, he said, I must needs go to Samaria. And here's that evangelist plea. Here's the great master saying, if you give me some water, I give you some living water. Oh, yeah, that's how you win people to the Lord. Now, the woman, like most people, they be curious. She's saying, now in the world, you're going to ask some water. You ain't even got nothing to dip with. You remember that? And that way people do you. You say, come over here. I remember we was out yesterday, and I said, come on over there. We got some hot dogs. Come on over to the Bible study. The barbecue. We got some chips. And the Lord put on my heart. Everybody knows I was a youth pastor for 20 years. The Lord put on my heart, you need to get some of these games that are different. So I went and got this big, giant, I forgot what they call them, jingo. And I had seen that at the Choo Choo. And I said, the kids are going to love this because they get a chance to play. And if you pull the wrong one, it tumble. Oh, they had a blast. And then I got the corn throw. That's where you throw things in the corn. And so let me tell you, do things that won't be boring to kids. Amen? Do things that win people to the Lord. Jesus won that woman at the well to the Lord, the Samaritan woman. And the Bible says this. She left her water pot. Now, she came to get water, but apparently the water wasn't her problem. Because she didn't take the water pot back home. The Bible says she left the water pot and ran into the city. So that's, she had something better than water. She said, look, come see a man who told me all about myself. It's not just the whole city came. Jesus gave us a picture of evangelism. We need to go and win one person, and that one person can win 100 people. The Bible says one could put 10, 1,000 to flight. So don't give up on one person. Jill was telling me about how the city was trying to give all these criminals that had felonies a job. Let me tell you, you might get one out of 100, but guess what? That one may turn out to be the best worker you ever had. Don't give up on that one. And by the way, everybody needs a second chance. Because you needed a second chance. Amen. Yeah, he was a young boy. He made a bad mistake when he was 17. He got a felony. But guess what? He can change. Amen. So as we think about evangelism, let me just help you out. We need to move out of these four walls. Now, I love the local church. I think it's very important. People got stained glass and all this. But the real work is outside those doors. Are y'all listening to me? Me being a pastor is great to come teach, but the pastors, all I'm doing is giving you ammunition to go out and win people to the Lord. The church is not a hit, it's not a theater where you just come to see people put on the act, okay? The church is not a performance where you come to see, what you need to do is come get some ammunition and say, Lord, I'm finna go back out into the highways and the byways, and I'm gonna talk to people. I like yesterday and Sharon and all y'all was talking to some of those ladies, and those ladies that brought their kids, and they just came out of nowhere, and y'all begin to invite them to the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. And then, again, y'all don't hold me this. I'm just telling you whatever happened. Then this one white Caucasian lady came out of nowhere. Y'all remember that? Came out of nowhere. Now, I had been through the subdivision with the van, and I had seen her, but she didn't have no kids, so I didn't say nothing to her because I was trying to invite the kids. I was going to use the limb to get the tree. And she walked up on her own. And then said, I think I want to come to church. Didn't she say that? So let me tell you, never discount anybody. And by the way, if you don't get it, this is not a black church. This is a God's church. Amen. This church is for whatever God sent. It's what we call a transparent. We want to love people just the way they are. Amen. I ask people all the time. I said, I got a little job, and every now and then I go to a place and they got Hispanic. They said, do you speak Spanish? I said, I don't speak Spanish, but guess what? I got somebody that work with me that speak Spanish. So whatever it takes, we need to be. When you're in Rome, you act like the Romans. Amen? Matthew 28:20 say, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Then he said, even to the end of the world. So we need to go all over this world. There are people all over the world that needs to hear the Lord of Jesus Christ. When you go out, though, you're going to be challenged. There are going to be some people ask questions. There are going to be some people that don't believe in Jesus. There are going to be some people that don't believe in righteousness. But don't let that stop you. Go out and share the good news anyway. Amen? Yeah, there are going to be some people going to say something to you. Matter of fact, I was going to show a film. I had got Gio to get the stuff. I hate that we couldn't do it because I'm going to have to do it at night. But we're going to show a film. And in the film, they witnessed to this boy. And what happened was his mama died. when he was young, and then his daddy went to jail, and then he got in trouble with gang. Then he asked the question, well, why would God let that happen to me? If there's a God, why did my mama die when I was a little child? If there was a God, why did my daddy go to prison? There are people going to ask questions. But what you need to do, you need to tell them that, yes, that happened. I can't explain it, but God still loves you. Amen? You got to learn how to tell people that. And tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. 3 points this morning as we talk about your influence on people for Christ. Point number one, you are the laborers in evangelism. The Bible says, Jesus says in John 4:33, look up, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest, the Lord is Jesus Christ, that he would send laborers into his harvest. Laborers, we need people that do the legwork. It's one thing, like for instance, Vacation Bible School. We're going to go out and invite people, but we still need people to do the legwork. We still need somebody to teach this class. We still need somebody to teach that class. We still need somebody to do the prayers of leading with the flag and the Christian flag. We still need somebody to sing songs for the people. We still need somebody to cook hot dogs and give chips. So we still need laborers. Amen? We're gonna show a film. I'm going to give 1/3 of the film every day. But we still need somebody to encourage the young people. And like I said it before, we need to do fun things with young people. Yesterday we had some hula hoops there. We had some beach balls there. And they was over there doing the hula hoop and they was playing ball and they was having a blast. And Gio texted me. I don't know where y'all know. G just blew up my phone. He sent me all these texts, all the pictures. And then he sent me a picture. 7 o'clock that morning. He said, Pastor, the Lord has gave us a beautiful day. We was worried about it was going to rain. You remember that? We was worried about it was going to rain. And my wife said, your phone going off. Your phone going off. It was Gio. Let me tell you, yesterday was a beautiful day. I mean, it was a beautiful day. And then my wife didn't even know about the big tree. I had told her. She said, it ain't going to be hot out there. I said, honey, it's a big it's a big oak tree out there. And all we got to do is sit up on the tree. I looked up. Y'all done put the tent up. and got y'all chairs out there. Chilling and everything. I said, boy, they having a good time. But you know, that's what it's about. And then Gio said to me, "Say, it's just good that we can fellowship one with another. Isn't that a blessing?" Now, I say this all the time. It's one thing to come to church, but we need to do some things apart from the church. We need to get together sometime and just laugh and have a good time, eat some popcorn. We need to do that because that's how you build a church. It's a family. Amen. A church is a place where you come together. So, you know, when you heard, I heard. When you exalted, I'm so grateful my daughter graduated, and people right here in this church came all the way to Nashville. I started crying almost. I said, praise the Lord. Because you have family people. Amen? So I'm going to tell you, that's what it's all about. Winning people to the Lord. Amen? Amen? The great commission, though, has come to great omission. Nobody want to go. We have a responsibility, y'all, to share Christ to the world. We have a responsibility. Ephesians 1, Jesus has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are citizens of heaven. That means if we're citizens of heaven, we are called to be ambassadors. An ambassador represents another country and a foreign country. We are ambassadors for Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to Christ. What we need to do is tell people God loves you. God got a plan for you. Come to church and we'll show you how you can have joy deep down in your soul and you'll have a joy. Let me tell you, I have more fun at church acting than I do anywhere. Let me tell you, I might have to put out the chair. I might have to drive the van, but I had a good time yesterday. Y'all want to know how I know I had a good time? When I got home, I hit the bed. But guess what? That's a blessing, isn't it? That's because you. And one thing about, I don't know whether you know or not, but that sun will draw the strength out of you. It'll draw. So you know, my wife always got them good points. She say, "Well, it's 5 o'clock, so you can still get some rest." So we wasn't there all day. It was a blessing. So we are laborers for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to. The Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:14, say, "For the love of Christ constrains us." We need to go out and tell people about the Lord and that he died for all, and that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for us. Let me tell you, I need to tell people that Jesus died for them just like he died for me. And because I receive him, they can receive him. And because I have the joy of the Lord down in my soul, they can have it. Amen. Amen? You can have it. Charlotte took my message already. She said the lady was crying. I'm just ready to give up on life. Let me tell you, a lot of people like that. A lot of people were ready to give up. Let me tell you, you look at this world and you look at this world through human eyes, you'll get discouraged. I mean, there's so much going on, so much violence, so much killing. I mean, every time I read the news, I'm thinking, what else done happen? But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, are you listening? You'll have some joy. When nobody else has joy, you'll have joy. You'll have joy. And I tell my daughters this every time. God, he might not give me everything I need, but he give me a nugget every now and then. It's almost like Hansel and Gretel. He dropped the crumbs, and I'll be following him. I'll be eating the crumbs up. And when I it's a big old house full of candy. And I said, thank you, Lord, for another crumb. Thank you, Lord. I needed just that much. And by the way, he gave me just enough for a day. Because tomorrow I'm going to need some more. And he dropped another crumb. And you know what? We call children crumb snatchers, but I'm one of them crumb snatchers myself. The goodness of the Lord. Amen? Point number one, we are laborers in evangelism. We are to win people for Christ. We all have our different Jerusalem. You're going to run into certain people that I'm not going to run into. You're going to have certain co-workers that I'm not going to have. You're going to have certain people in your neighborhood. Guess what? God needs you to win them. I can't win the people on your job. I don't know them. You can. I can't win the people in your neighborhood. You can. They know them. I used to say this when I was pastor at the other church. My neighbors can set their clock every Sunday morning. Because every Sunday morning, they see John Jeter going to church with a Bible in his hand, cranking up his car at 9 o'clock, headed down the highway every Sunday. Now, some of them be out washing cars, cutting grass, but they know where I'm at. I'm in the house of God. Amen? So guess what? Be an example. Amen? We have a responsibility to share Christ to them. One preacher said like this, we're just one beggar found bread, trying to tell another beggar where he can find bread. Amen? Point number two. On your influence of people for Christ. Number one is, we are the laborers in evangelism. Number two is, we need to learn how to cultivate healthy relationships that demonstrate love. We need to build a relationship with people. A lot of times, people are not going to trust you until you build a relationship with them. Amen? In Philippians 4:22, Paul says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they are the Caesar's household. Paul was in prison. Paul was chained to a guard. Yet Paul witnessed to that guard, and Paul said there's some prisoners in Caesar's household that got saved. Let me tell you, it's just like Jill. Just because you're working down there with felonies, just because you're working, you can still lead them to Christ. You can still win people to Christ. I don't care what they did. I don't care who they are. They can still be a born-again child of God if you tell them about Jesus. Amen? They had just beat Paul in the city of Philippi. Paul came down there. And the prison guard had beat him, 40 stripes minus one. And then there was an earthquake. Y'all know the story. The earthquake shook the prison. And all the bands, they had these, they had ankle braces and arm braces, were loose. And the prison warden had took a sword. And Paul saw it in the nightlight. He was going to take a sword and kill himself. Because in that culture, if anybody escaped, then the prison guard was responsible. And Paul told him, do yourself no harm. We're all him. Well, Paul would say, look, God shook up the prison because he needed to take up your soul. That's what it was. See, we ain't finna run. We ain't finna leave. I just want you to know. And Paul and Silas were singing praises at midnight. Y'all remember that? They were singing. I don't know what they were singing. They were probably saying Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Going to be a change. They might have been singing amazing. I don't know what they might have been saying. What a friend we have in Jesus. But whatever they do, the prison God heard. And the Bible said, when Paul said, do yourself no harm, we're all here. He ran to him and fell at his feet. And says, sir, what must I do to be saved? Now, when people do like that, you tell them the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the man believed because he took some sight. Now, you know somebody got saved. He just got through beating Paul. Paul had them whips on his back. He went and got some cream and some salve. Started putting them in Paul's soul. You know when a person gets saved, when they start, they done changed on you. They will ugly on you, then all of a sudden they be nice to you. Can I help you out? They begin to put that in Paul's back. And then Paul said, What about your wife and children? And the Bible says his whole household got saved. If you didn't know it or not, that church of Philippi started with that Philippian jailer getting saved. Amen? So we got to do that. You got to build a relationship with people. Paul said this in Philippians 1, for these things which happened to me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. Let me park on that for a minute. When something happened to you, don't take it as something wasn't supposed to happen. Whatever happened to you, God can use it to bring people to the Lord. God can use it for his honor and glory. Joseph got put in a pit. Y'all know this story. Joseph got sold into slavery by his brothers. But God needed a man to go down in Egypt to be the prime minister. God needed a man to interpret Pharaoh's dream. God needed a man that he could raise up. And then when his brothers came down to him and bowed down, and he looked and saw 10 brothers bow down, and his dream came back to him. He said, I saw my sheep standing up, and I saw your sheep bow down. And Joseph said, y'all meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. Let me help somebody out here. Some people do stuff for you for evil, but God can change it. I had somebody call me and say, I need to take you out. I said, you might have meant it for evil, but don't worry about it. I've forgiven you, and God had a plan. God meant it for good. So when things happen to you bad, use it as a stepping stone. There was an Ethiopian unit. Not a unit. There was an Ethiopian that they threw down into the dungeon. And he was down in the dungeon, and Jeremiah had made a statement that I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm just tired. And then it would say, like, fire shut up in my bone. And then Jeremiah went down and told the Ethiopian eunuch, say, I'm going to throw you down some old rags. Say, put them in front of your arm. And say, then I'm going to pull you out of the dungeon. Let me tell you, take all that bad stuff that people done for you and use it as a stepping stone. Climb on top of it. Say, yeah, you talked about me, but I'm going to step on that. I'm going to climb on up. So whenever people do you wrong, just climb on up. But then when you look back down at them, don't say nothing harsh to them. Do like I said, Joseph said, God brought me here. Y'all might have thought y'all brought me here, but God had a purpose to save many souls. Say, y'all meant it wrong, or you meant it for evil, but God meant it for evil. So whenever people do you wrong, just forgive them. Amen? Amen? And go on. It's a symbolic we have today. Like Paul was locked up. Sometimes we locked up in churches. Sometimes we isolate from churches. Let me tell you, we can't isolate. Don't isolate from the world. Even the girl that came yesterday, and again, I'm just preaching, y'all. Don't hold me against it. She had tattoos, you know, all on her legs and tattoos. Let me tell you, just because she had tattoos don't mean that she can't be saved. Amen. So don't give up on people. Some of those guys that I told you I went over in the apartment complex, and when I was went over, they were smoking. And I don't know what they were smoking, but it was kind of small. You know what I'm talking about. And so I said to myself, that's okay. They still need Jesus. Amen. They still need Jesus. And it used to be, I'm going to tell you, we live in a different generation. It used to be they would hide. They don't hide no more. They be right out there. You don't see me? No, they don't care who I was. But they need the Lord. So you know what I did? I parked my van right there with the church name on and got right out and went and told them, hey, guys, we're having a hot dog fry. We're having a barbecue. You can come on and get you some hot dog. So let me tell you, don't ever discard people. Think about it. Paul was locking Christians up. Paul was one of the worst ones, but God saved him. Amen? Think about it. God can turn one soul to be zealous for him. Amen? Symbolic. 1 Corinthians 5:10 says, you can't get away from sin. If that's the case, you'd have to go out of the world. And Jesus said it like this in Matthew 5:14. Ye are the light of the world. You know how the world going to see Jesus? Through you. You need, what that song we sang? Let my little light shine. This little light of mine. We need to let our light shine. And then he took it a step further and said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is a preserver. Most of you women know that. People, when they get their food, they put salt in, they preserve it. When they get meat, they pack it in salt. Back before they had freezer, they would pack pork and salt. The bottom line, Jesus said, but if the salt have lost its savior, wherein shall it be salted? It's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trotted under the foot of men. Let me tell you, you ought to make a difference in people's lives. When they see you come, you ought to be light and salt. And when they salt, make a save, a salt get a taste. When people see you, you ought to say, look, I'm not like the world, but I like to tell you about one that can help you. I want to be a light. Y'all know where light does its best work? When it's black dark. People say, I don't want to be in this sin. Let me tell you, that's when you can do your best job. Light does its best job when it's, grandma, okay, does its best job when it's dark. If I was to cut all the lights off in here and hit a count and do one match, you would see it. Because light does its best job. So we are a little bit of light. Jesus is the big light. Let your little light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Cultivate healthy relationship. You need to serve humanity. Jesus made this statement in both of the Gospels, Matthew 20, 28 and Mark 10, 45. He said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to give his life a ransom for many and to serve. We are called to serve this world. One of the things that I liked yesterday with you women is that when people came to get a plate, y'all served them. Y'all even asked questions, what do you want? You want a hot dog? Want some chips? And Charlotte had went and got some Little Debbie's, and we had some soda. Sharon had the sodas, and we had drinks. So what we did, we served people. Do y'all know what serving does? It let people know that you care about them. Let people know you appreciate them. So we need to serve people. Point number one, as we talked about your influence on people for Christ, point number one is we are the laborers in evangelism. Point number two, we need to cultivate healthy relationships that demonstrate love. And point number three is, last but not least, we need to raise up, see too little bit now, disciples. We need to raise up disciples and send them out. We need to train people as disciples to do it. We ought to have some footprints in our community. We ought to go in the community and visit the community. We ought to build rapport. Sometimes we need to meet physical needs. When you go in the community, you know, yesterday I was going to do something else, but I hadn't told y'all about it. I had got some people to donate some clothes. I had some clothes that I was going to give away, but I didn't get enough youth out there. So I had went to a couple of stores, and they had donated some T-shirts and donated some shorts and donated some clothes. So that's a way of ministering to people, okay? So when you go into a neighborhood, help meet some of their needs, you know? And sometimes, you know, you might even help with food. Some people may need some food. You might could help them with food. You may could help them in a physical need. Start out in one community, one person at a time. Start out meeting. That's how we evangelize. We go one person. When we first came up with this idea about evangelism, I said there's three apartment complexes near our church. There's one immediately behind, and I went to that one. There's one down the street, and then there's another one. And so I asked the Lord to kind of give me favor. And so as I went to all three of them, he opened that door for that one. And that was a blessing. Now, I don't know what he's going to do in the future. But let me say, start with one community. Now, right now, we don't need to move too fast because we got some people out of that community. I got their numbers. Sharon wrote their names and them down. I got their kids. I want to try to get their kids to come vacation Bible school. We need to continue to reach out to them. Amen? And when we have, again, vacation Bible school, I'm going to have what I didn't have yesterday. I'm going to have some bouncy bounce out on the parking lot so that the kids can jump around. So that stuff right there is something that will, again, I know what you're saying. It's sort of like bringing them in. Let me tell you, we need to do whatever it takes to win people. People are not going to go anywhere if the kids are boring. We need to have some things for them to do. Amen? So y'all just pray we'll work that thing out. Raise up disciples. Invite them to the vacation Bible school. Establish an outreach to them. We have a prayer line. Sister Gaines and my wife, they have a number now where I guess I hadn't heard the next time on Monday where they call and everybody can dial in and pray. So guess what? When we get some new people in, some new evangelists, we need to get them on the prayer line. Amen? And say, hey, we got a prayer line. It's free. All you got to do is call in and check in, and then everybody, and you don't have to pray because you might not know how to pray, but guess what? You can listen to the other people pray. Amen? I think the last time prayer, Sharon was at work, and she texted that she was at work. She would like to be there. So let me tell you, just continue to do things to bring honor and glory. Amen? I already said be hospitality. Be kind to people. Invite people over sometime. Be hospitable. When those missionaries come, Sister Russell's already said, we want to love them. okay? Yeah, we're going to give them a little love offering, but they're going to, some of them got kids, and some of them may come in here, but what we want to do, we want to be hospitality. We want to show them nice things. Again, we had Cunningham. He came all the way from Florida, preached our anniversary. We put him up in the hotel. That worked out great. We had another missionary come, him and his wife, and she's expecting. By the way, the missionary that's coming to our mission conference, his wife is pregnant, but she's been having some major sickness, morning. So you know the women I'm talking about. So we need to pray for him. So last time we had the missionary here, y'all remember, Jonathan was here, Deacon Jennings had him come up and laid his hand and we prayed for him. Y'all remember that? So we need to do that. We need to be hospitality to people. We need to reach out to people. And the last one, raise up disciples. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah was in there the time that he saw a vision of the Lord. He saw the Lord sitting on the throne. And then he saw these seraphims around the throne of God. And these seraphims was hollering, holy, holy, holy. Y'all remember the story. And Isaiah thought about it a minute. Then he say, I'm an unclean man, for I dwell around people with unclean lips. Y'all remember that? And the seraphim took one of them hot coals off the fire and flew down and touched Isaiah's lip and told him, said, don't worry about it. I clean you up. I purge your sin. Remember, let me tell you. And Isaiah looked around and the Lord said, who will go? Who shall I send? And you know, like we do, we'd be looking for somebody else. Well, who are you talking to? Talking to you. Isaiah said, okay. And God said, then Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Let me help you out this morning. We don't have that many workers, but if you're here today, God got a ministry for you. Amen? Amen. So don't ask somebody else, well, Pastor, we need to do this. But hold on a minute. Pastor can't do everything. You need to do something. Amen? And I'm grateful, and I just echo what my wife said. We have been able to do everything that every big church you have with just a few people we have because God is faithful. Amen? We've done everything, and we're going to do it again this year. We're going to have a mission conference. We're going to have a vacation Bible school conference. We're going to have a picnic. We're going to do everything. We're going to have evangelistic. We're going to have a revival. And every time we do it, God shows up, and we use the talent that we have. So I'm so grateful. Like I said, I did not know, and y'all know it, and I just preached. I did not know this church down the street. But I knew the church over there that we had a revival of. I knew the church over there that had the baptism of. I knew the people at the mission conference that we had the anniversary. Now I got another church. So look, God, in this small little community, God has knit my heart with pastors in different areas, and we are still going to win the world for Christ. You know what? God did that. Sometimes I ask myself, well, God, why'd you send me to Hickson? God said, you don't need to ask me why I send you to Hickson. You just do what I told you to do. So what we need to do is be faithful. Be faithful. The Bible says more required than stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen? What happened to Isaiah should happen to us. Isaiah developed a burden for the Lord. When Isaiah made that statement of, here am I, send me. What he was saying was, I see the need. You know what the church is? It's a hospital. People come to be doctored on. Amen? Some of you all, even you nurses, some of you all are in the medical field, you know what people need. When people come, it's the same thing in the spiritual need. People need help. You need to give them the right counsel. The Bible said, in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. Amen? So just keep on trusting the Lord. Isaiah was humbled by the experience that he saw, just like we ought to be humbled by the experience that we see. As the Lord cleanses us up, we ought to be able to go and carry the gospel. Four things, here it is right here. Going, go, invite people, reach the law, weep, have a broken heart over the law, have a broken heart over sin. You know what ought to hurt you more than anything else? And when you see people are floundering in sin and nobody's helping them, that ought to burden your heart. You ought to say, you know, somebody, it's just like Charlotte was saying yesterday, that woman was crying. Somebody ought to say, there's somebody can help you. In his name, Jesus. That somebody can help you. In his name, Jesus. So we ought to weep for people. What's missing in the church today is people don't stop crying. Let me tell you, what brings people more to Christ than anything else is tears. Crying over people. This one ain't my message, but I got an 85-year-old father who's not saved. And I've tried to witness to him, but you know, Sometimes all I got to do is just pray and cry. So, Lord, save my daddy before it's too late. My dad is, you know, he talk a big talk. I might outlive you. I'm going to live to be 100. You can do all that talking. But one day, you're going to have to die. And one day, you're going to have to stand before a holy God. I don't care. You live to be 130. You got to stand before God. So what good is you live 130 and die and go to the devil's hell? Amen? So we need to cry. And then we need to sow. The Bible says some plant and some sow, but God give the increase. You need to put a track in people's hands. Yesterday, when those ladies was asking about where the church was, what church were, I had a stack of tracks. Y'all remember that? And I said, I got one right here. So what you need to do is, if you don't have no track, you need to see me. We got some track to tell people how to find our church. And then you need to help them. Sometimes you need to bring them to church. Sometimes you need to, again, sow seed. And then there's going to become a day of reaping. The Bible says, he that go forth sowing precious seeds shall doubtless come again, reaping, bringing his seed with him. One day, the missionary from Jamaica said that. One day, some of those ladies that y'all saw are going to come to church. I don't know if you ever had that happen. You witness to a person, and then you look up and they're in church. That's a blessing. Amen. And what God is saying to you, now you're reaping what you done sowed. You done told them about the Lord. You done reached out to them. You done showed hospitality to them. Now they're coming. And God wants you to see that. Look, I will, the Bible says, you can't outgive God. When you give to the Lord, he going to give back. The Bible says he's going to give so much, it's going to be running over that you can't receive it. So we need to be grateful that we start our evangelism, and need to be grateful that our missionary week is coming up. But let me just encourage you, don't quit. Charlotte said today, don't quit, don't give up. Now, everything may not go like you think it should, but guess what? He's still in control. He's still high and look low. Lord, I don't understand this. God said, you don't need to understand. Just keep serving me. Lord, why that didn't? Stop asking questions. Just be faithful. You just stay faithful. You stay praying up. You stay in your Bible. You stay witness to people. And I'll do the rest. So we need to stop trying to carry that load on. Let me tell you, I can't carry the load. It's too much for me. But you know what? The Bible says, cast all my cares on him. For he cares. Amen. Let me tell you, today what we need to do is turn it over to the Lord. Yes. Turn it over to the Lord. And he'll work it out. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I've done as you commanded. I shared about the good news of evangelism, how we are called to go out and win the lost for Christ. Lord, thank you for yesterday. Thank you for the ones that we invited out. We pray now, Lord, that we will follow up, that will be a time of discipleship, that they will eventually darken those doors and come through here, Lord. We got Vacation Bible School coming up. I got phone numbers. So, Lord, help us to reach out and do everything to bring honor and glory to you. Now, Lord, as we get invitation, I pray that you bless us. Use your word, use your Holy Spirit to draw us, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In the name of Jesus.